Hello, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Capsule. Here we open the capsule on several health conditions and concerns that may help you gain knowledge to better your well-being. How's it going, Nan?
Not too bad. How about you?
Yeah, not too, how do you say, shabby?
Shabby? Not shabby. No. Isn't that an Australian way to say it? Shabby?
Could be. I don't think I've ever said it, though.
All right, then. How's your week been? Anything exciting?
The puppy graduated last night.
Yep.
So that was an achievement.
Yeah.
Especially because she was a bit of a very high distinction. Yes.
Nice.
She to be honest, like in this, so she has a class of three other dogs.
Yep.
And so we all just sort of like sit on chairs, but like a little bit separate from each other.
Yep.
So halfway through the lesson, you just hear the snoring and I look down and she's just literally like down, just like lying down and falling asleep.
Yep.
Meanwhile, everyone else is like licking on like peanut butter or like baby food or like whatever treats they have.
Yep.
And she's just there just snoring.
Okay.
And the vet's just like, all right, well, clearly someone's bored out of their mind. Yeah, it's very strange.
I see.
She was able to get through the class eventually.
Nice. It was all right. As you might have heard, I got a piano over the weekend. But not for me play. I mean, I don't really play much nowadays, just for the missus. Just play, yep. And the team got my under 11 team got into the final, which will be this Sunday.
Congratulations.
Yeah, but then facing a bit of difficulty because did I tell you that the kid got suspended, the suspension got extended?
No, what?
It's got extended. So they reviewed the incident, so they extended so that he can't play the final.
Oh, that sounds a bit political.
Yeah, very corrupted there. Oops.
Mm.
And then just got the news that one of the kid got injured as well. So two down. But it's all right, you know.
Well, you were able to make it through the finals, like the last two games without him.
Yep.
So hopefully it should be okay.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll see. He just have to... All my plan has a change because some of my plan rotate rely on those two. We'll have to think of a new option, but that's all right. I've been doing at work.
Yeah. One door closes, another door opens.
Yeah, hopefully. Have you booked in for your COVID vaccine yet?
Not yet. Still looking at booking times and trying to match it with work and outside of work stuff. But
are you going to get it through the GP or where are you getting it?
I was trying to do it through hospital preferably.
Did they send you the link?
Yeah, so I've got a booking link, so I'm just waiting for more times to appear.
It's very pretty booked out at the moment. Everyone, you can see that there are a lot of misconception informations about the COVID vaccine everywhere, and there's so many COVID vaccine, but you know, people still go, and it's the right thing to do. As you guys might have heard, so there's at least 6 to 7 vaccine that I can list on top of my head. So you got the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, Sputnik 5, the Covivac, there's some Chinese one. I know in Vietnam there are three that are on trials at the moment. So there's a lot that's going on. Each of them work a bit differently from each other, but at the end of the day, they still achieve very good result. In this episode, we'll try to focus on the four main ones that being used like across the world. So we got the Moderna, Pfizer vaccine, AstraZeneca, and Johnson. So in the first part, I'll talk about the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine because they are quite similar in terms of mechanism of action. Both of these vaccines use this thing called mRNA technology. So mRNA stands for messenger RNA, which is like a genetic code that I'll explain a bit later. So before I dig deep into the mechanism of actions, let's just briefly recap in terms of the COVID-19 vaccine. So if you tune back into one of the episodes that we did in the past, so on the surface of the COVID-19 virus, there are this specific protein spike. And this is like the target that a lot of vaccine try to target because it can help differentiate between the COVID-19 virus and like other cells or any other elements inside your body. Okay, so with the mRNA technology, so what they do is the scientists, they have extract this messenger, this genetic code that code for the protein spike on the COVID-19 vaccine. They incorporated that into the vaccine, injected into the human. And our human cell will read the genetic informations on the messenger RNA and then produce all this protein spike that release into the bloodstream. And our immune system will detect those protein spikes and then produce antibody to fight it off, and also like memory antibody as well. So in the future, if you are exposed to the COVID-19, then you can, your body can fight it back by themselves without being hospitalized, and also help preventing transmitted to other people. So from the name of it, you know that the Pfizer vaccine is done by the Pfizer, but they work together with another company named BioNTech. And the Moderna vaccine is created by the Moderna Incorporations. So did I tell you that I got booked in for the Pfizer vaccine in like 2 weeks' time?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So pretty excited. Mallory's got her. Not sure if I tell you. And yes, so far so good. No problems yet. And I think her second dose is this weekend. Okay. So speaking of the dosage form, so there's both of the vaccine, you have to do 2 doses. But with the Pfizer's, you have to do 21 days apart. Can do a bit longer, this 5, but minimum is 21 days. The Moderna is 28 days apart. In terms of efficacy-wise, Pfizer has a 95% efficacy, which means that 95% of the people getting the vaccine will have the strong immunity to the COVID-19. It will prevent them from transmitting to other people or hospitalized or experience like severe symptoms. The Moderna's efficacy is about 94.1%. So you can see that the numbers are quite similar between the two of them. Both are very effective. Okay, so side effect. Just like every other vaccination, you will get a little bit of a sore arm, especially at the injection site. So it's sort of like a bit inflamed, like redness, swelling a little bit, but it's not like severe. And some people might experience a bit of like tiredness, headache, or mild case of fevers the next day or the next few days, but it will go away by itself. The most another severe side effect that we have to mention is anaphylaxis. So you get anaphylaxis with pretty much anything. I think in Australia, we have done about 200,000 or so or more vaccination shots so far. But there's only been but there's only been like 4 cases of anaphylaxis, which is like pretty standard ratios.
It's not much, to be honest. Yeah.
And it's not like, and with anaphylaxis, it can be treated like quite easily. And that's why every time you get a vaccination, you'll be asked to stay back for 15 minutes. Don't leave the clinic and go elsewhere. Stay there just in case you get anaphylaxis. Another common question that people have been asking is about the efficacy, effectiveness against all the variants. So like you got the UK's variant, the South Africa variants, there's a few others. So in terms of the UK strain, the 117, studies shown that those two vaccines are still quite effective. With the South Australia, South Africa one, it's not as effective as the UK one. However, Pfizer is in the work to like modify the vaccine so that it can combat the all the different variants that's going on at the moment.
I think there's a, is there a Brazilian one now?
Yes, there's a Brazilian one as well,
Brazilian.
but I don't think they've done much study into it because it's a little bit newer
Yeah,
compared
it's
to the
quite new.
UK.
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone probably heard of this, but with the Pfizer, the storage condition is quite extreme. So you need to store it at negative 80 to negative 60 degrees Celsius. You can keep it in negative 25 to negative 15, but can only be kept for 2 weeks. 5 days if you kept it in the like normal fridge, so like 2 to 8 degrees Celsius. On the other hand, the Moderna is you have to keep it in negative 25 to negative 15, 30 days storage if you kept it in the 2 to 8 degrees Celsius range. So you can see that because the requirement for storage condition is quite extreme with these two, so there are some countries that can don't have the facility or not well equipped yet to import these two vaccine into for their use.
It also makes sense why, if you're getting the Pfizer vaccine, you're more likely to get it in a hospital setting as opposed to like the community pharmacies or
Yeah,
doctor
definitely.
surgery. Cool. Alrighty, so now we'll move on to the other two, which is the AstraZeneca and Johnson and Johnson. So, to be honest, a lot of it is quite similar, but we'll go through some mechanisms of actions as well. So basically, like say with Johnson and Johnson, to create it, the team just took like a harmless adenovirus, which is like the viral vector, and they just replaced it with a little bit of genetic instructions with coronavirus genes for the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. So basically, like say we've got the Sputnik 5 that Nan was talking about before as well. So this has two viral vectors. So it's based on two human adenoviruses. So the common cold virus, which contains the gene that encodes a full-length spike protein of SARS-CoV-2. So this stimulates the immune response that's in your body, which is basically what the vaccine is. It's basically trying to put you in the ring, a boxing ring with the virus, but you've got all the strength, the speed. And the virus is like really weak. And so you can easily defeat it. And then you know exactly how to tackle it. The other way I was thinking about a vaccine comparison was like, say you've got like a final exam and you get given the exam the day before. And so you know all the answers. So when you take the actual exam, you can complete it quite easily and without stress. And yeah. So,
Good idea.
yeah. So, as you probably also heard, Italy's was blocking quite a few of our doses from being flown into Australia. Now, this was done of the shipment of AstraZeneca because Europe's situation was getting quite bad. And so then there was more need of it in Italy. And but luckily we're able to sort that out with the EU, and so that's all on track now.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure we can. We have the company CSL. They made the AstraZeneca one as well in Australia.
Yeah, so we've got backup options, thankfully. So, in terms of doses, you've got two doses for AstraZeneca, which are 8 to 12 weeks apart. And I think, I don't know if you did the new update for the coronavirus training. I think they said if you do it 12 weeks apart, then the efficiency increases.
Oh, okay.
So I think they're saying preferably if you can, do it like 12 weeks apart. And then just the one for Johnson and Johnson. So a bit more convenient. Now, in terms of efficacy, With AstraZeneca, it's 82%, whereas it's 66% for Johnson & Johnson to prevent mild moderate symptoms. But in terms of preventing hospitalization, we're looking at the 100% mark. Now, side effects, like Nan was mentioning, with the other ones, you've got your feeling tired, headache, fever, that sort of stuff. Bit of irritation to the arm where you're getting injected, and as well as anaphylaxis. But recently there has been, well, it's, I think over the last month, people were trying to connect blood clot issues with the vaccination. And so the TGA has released a statement saying there has been no link that they found between the two, which is good. So you should be able to get injected without having that stress of, oh, is my blood going to clot? Because there were other factors that were taking into place. And in terms of variant strains, it's the same as Pfizer, so effective against the UK, but at this stage, not so much with the South African strain. And storage is a bit more lenient. So with these ones, it's literally just between 2 and 8 degrees. So we don't have to worry about negative 80 or negative 60 degrees, which is why you'll find it more commonly in GP surgeries and pharmacies as well.
Yep. Okay. So there are a lot of people that, I mean, you guys have heard, like, we explain how the vaccine works. So there's a lot of questions that might arise from all of these informations. So the first question, which is quite common, is whether you can get the COVID, like become COVID positive from getting the vaccine. The answer is no, because there are no, like, there's no actual virus inside it, or there's no, like, live virus inside it as well. So in the two class of vaccine that we mentioned, there's only the genetic material which to code for the protein spike of the COVID-19. So you wouldn't get positive from the COVID test.
The other thing, like, which is quite similar with the, you know, with the flu vaccination, how they say, I've caught the flu from that.
Yeah.
So one thing I noticed from, which I'm going to start telling people this year as well, like last year as well, was basically because, you know, how it takes a couple of weeks for it to fully kick in for the flu vaccination.
Yeah.
So in that time, obviously you can still catch it and then you could still get flu-like symptoms.
Yep.
Same thing with COVID vaccination, because I think it's 7 days after the second dose that you get, like, full benefit.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, in that time, well, hopefully you don't get it, but you're still at risk.
Yeah, true.
So that's one reason why you could still get COVID or the flu after getting the vaccination when you think that, you know, it's all good.
Another common question is whether you get, like, if your gene get mutated, because, like, from what we mentioned, like, in all the vaccine, you got the genetic materials. The answer again is no, because there's, yeah, it just doesn't go into the nucleus. And yeah, basically the nucleus is like the centers of the cell, a human cell. So the, yeah, there's no way that you can get, like, mutation from it. And yeah, it's just a code to make the protein, is nothing else.
And I'm not sure if you heard about this one. I think it's on the government website of FAQs. Wait, if it connects to the 5G internet, if you get connected to it?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Oh, yes. So just to debunk that, no, you can't connect to the internet. Although, I mean, that actually wouldn't be such a bad idea if it was harmless, because think of all the things you could do.
Yeah.
Yeah, convenience. But no, sadly, can't connect to 5G or anything like that. And the last one. Now, there has been quite a lot of concerns, especially, I don't know if you've seen on Facebook as well, like, people posting, like, you can get tracked because of the microchips and stuff.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, it must be linked to Bill Gates' rumor, I think.
Bill, yeah, that's right. So I think how it initially started though was like, as they were transporting the vaccinations, there was a chip, like a tracking chip on the outside of the batch, so that they could track where the batch is. Like a, you know, if you're posting something, you want to know where it is. So I think that sort of went into Chinese whispers and then ended up being like the tracking is actually in the vaccinations as opposed to the box that people can track where it is. So no, there's no tracking devices in there. But I mean, there are other ways, obviously. Like if you carry around a smartphone,
Oh yeah, you're pretty much being
that's
tracked already.
basically, yeah.
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg know where you are.
At all times and what you're saying.
Yeah. All right. So we have debunked some of the common questions that might have been asked or will be asked, something like that. And we have covered the four common COVID vaccine that's around at the moment. Again, there will be more vaccine come out in the futures. They might work a bit differently, and we'll keep you guys up to date on that. If you guys have any further questions, feel free to send us a message at contact@breakingthecapsule.com. Otherwise, we shall see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.
All of the information provided on this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you have any questions, please see your healthcare professional.